This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
I'll just move close, slightly closer, so our friend Lorenz doesn't have trouble hearing. Discourse was all about was about kindness. A long time ago, a king wanted to discover a teaching that would help him to be a wiser king. So he disguised himself in civilian clothing and traveled around his kingdom. After seeing many, many gurus, many teachers, many spiritual leaders, the top meditation masters of the day, he finally found a teacher who gave him a teaching that would help him to be a just and kind king and rule with a lot of wisdom. Hearing the teaching and spending a couple months with his teacher, he traveled back to his kingdom. Along the way, he befriended a little boy, and he was a king. So if he was arrogant, if he was conceited, he would have just ignored the poor little boy who was actually in rags. But the king, because he practiced the teaching, he decided to actually be friends with the boy. And the boy said, Mister, don't go this way. There's actually a bad man there waiting to kill you. So the king decided not to go that way. And by doing so, he saved himself from being assassinated, because that man knew he was, the man who was waiting for him was hired by another king to assassinate this very kind king. But because the king, he listened to the boy, he didn't need to, but he wanted to, because the teaching advised him to. So what was the teaching? What is the teaching? When is the most important time? Right now. So basically he was spending time with a little boy. That was actually his most important time. He was in the moment. He spent time with a little boy, even though he was a king, and this is a very poor village boy. And second question, who is the most important person? The one that who is in front of you. So the little boy was the most important person to the king. So that's why he actually gave all his attention to this little boy in rags from the lowest caste. And the third question, what is the most important thing to do? To care. So by caring for the little boy, he listened to him wholeheartedly. By doing so, the little boy, he felt cared for. So he actually knew that a bad man was waiting for this kind man to kill him, because he knew all the other street kids in that area. And the street kids knew all the bad people, including the assassins, the killers, people hired basically to kill other people. So because this king, he practiced these three, the answers to these three questions. When is the most important time? Now. Who is the most important person? The person who is in front of you. And what is the most important thing to do? To care. So this wise king, because he followed his teaching, he cared for this little boy. He gave him all his attention, he listened to him, and the little boy felt cared for. As a result, he actually wanted to actually protect this wise man. So he decided to tell him that basically that there's a killer waiting for you down the street. Don't go that way, he'll gonna kill you. So how can we learn from these three questions, also known as the Emperor's Three Questions? So we can learn to be, when is the most important time? Right now, in the present moment. So we're all here basically to meditate together, to learn, to promote stillness and wisdom in the mind. And the second question, who is the most important person? The person who's in front of you, the person who's with you. But if we're by ourselves, well, we're kind to one another, but because we're here mainly for meditation. So basically the person who's with us is ourselves. So tonight we will care about ourselves. And what is actually the most important thing to do? To care. So the second question, what is the most important thing to do? Let me get confused. When is the most important time? Now. Who is the most important person? The one in front of you? If we're by ourselves, then we're the most important person. And what is the most important thing to do? To care. To care. So how do we care? By being kind to ourselves and other people, by being gentle to ourselves and other people, not to harm ourselves, not to harm other people, to be careful with our heart, our mind, and to be careful with the hearts and minds of all others. This teaching is very relevant, especially in regard to what happened in Sydney yesterday. I only heard about today because I didn't follow the news. So this is why we need to care for ourselves. If we need help, we go and get help. Because some states of mind are too difficult for us to handle ourselves. We need help. There are free services out there that offer advice to those with anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, as well as hallucinations and all other difficult mind states. And it's free. That's why if we are suicidal, if we have thoughts of harming others, in order to care for ourselves, we need to get help. Yeah. And if basically, if the mind state is something that is not where we won't harm ourselves or others, then we can practice mindfulness meditation and stillness meditation in order to know this heart and know this mind. So tonight the theme will be basically to care for this heart, to care for this mind. And also, I know that some people will hate this person who did these horrendous deeds, but we need to care for this person as well, because there's a North American Indian saying, never judge a person unless you have walked 1,000 miles in their moccasins. As a result, if we were this person who committed these deeds in Sydney, who hurt these people and killed these people, if we had the same mind state, we would have done the same thing. So please don't judge this person. We're not in a position to judge. We can care for them. We can care for those who are grieving at the moment. Do not judge. It is not our place to judge, because if we're in the same shoes as this person who, because of difficult mind states, committed these horrendous deeds, we may have done the same thing. So please do not judge this person. Have compassion for this person. This person suffered tremendously. That's why they did what they did. That's why it's very important for us to care for this mind, this heart, so that we don't do the same thing. So that we actually keep this mind and heart happy and healthy. Kind people do not hurt other people. Only those who are suffering hurt other people, including themselves. So please remember this. Never judge a person unless you've walked 1,000 miles in their moccasins. So please have compassion for this person. Yeah, I mean, it may be difficult, but over time, this compassion will come. It will come, because if you're a meditator, you will feel the friendliness, the kindness. And then the next, what will you do is compassion, which is actually, you don't want yourself to suffer, and you don't want other people, other beings to suffer as well. That is compassion. Feeling their suffering and wanting their suffering to end, because you have suffered and you want your suffering to end. As a result, when others suffer, including this person who committed these deeds, you want their suffering to end as well. And because they've committed these deeds, they will suffer a long, long time because of the bad karma. So we don't need to punish this person anymore, because basically karma is already punishing this person.
He's already dead.
Right, but the thing is, he will be reborn in a place of misery for a long, long, long time. That's why we do not need to actually hate this person. By hating this person, we only create bad karma for ourselves.
He also had a mental illness apparently, and he was known to police for having a mental
illness. Yeah, that's right. That's right. As a result, we need to have compassion for someone who's suffering so much. So today, tonight, it's all about kindness, okay? Let's dim the light slightly only. Yeah. Okay. So kindness today. And please enjoy. Find a comfortable posture. Comfortable and alert. Relax the shoulders. Move them up and down. Up higher this time. And down. Tilt the head to the left and feel the gentle stretch. Tilt it back to the center. Now tilt it the other way to the right. And feel the stretch or not, depending on where the tension is. And back to the center. Tilt the head forward. Feel the stretch. Back to the center. Tilt the head backwards. Feel the stretch at the front of the neck. And back to the center. Tilt the head diagonally 45 degrees to the left. To the front and back to the center. Now tilt the head backwards diagonally to the right at 45 degrees. And back to the center. Tilt the head to the right diagonally at 45 degrees. To the front and back to the center, and now tilt it back diagonally to the left at 45 degrees backwards and back to the center. Turn the head to the left without moving your shoulders. Feel the stretch. And back to the center. Now turn the head to the right without moving the shoulders. Back to the center. Now we're going to turn our head and shoulders to the left. Turn the head and shoulders. Feel the stretch. And back to the center. Turn the head and shoulders to the right of the body. Feel the stretch. And back to the center. Make sure the back, especially the lower back, is comfortable. So adjust in your seat if necessary. Make sure the body feels in balance, alert and comfortable. Choose your favorite animal, a cat, a kitten, a dog, a puppy, or any pets you've had, any animals you like. especially if the animal gives off or gives a lot of kindness. So I'm choosing a cat that I used to know, Oscar. Now let's hug this animal. Feel the animal's soft fur. If it's a cat, imagine purring. Do you feel a softness in the heart? A gentleness, a kindness. By being kind to this animal, the animal is kind to us. We feel the connection, a rapport, a mutual kindness. It softens the heart, softens the belly, brings a gentle smile to the face. Get in touch with this feeling, a feeling of softness, of kindness, of friendliness, of goodwill. Appreciate this feeling, this emotion of loving kindness. And if you have difficulty in evoking this emotion, that's okay, because it does take practice sometimes. For certain people, it's easier. For others, it's more difficult. And that's okay. So feel that softness and appreciate it. Now, if an animal doesn't work for you, we're all going to try a person now. So choose a person who is very kind. Someone you're not attracted to. A family member, including a grandparent, a parent, a child. Your best friend, best human friend, a kind leader. Now, let's shake this person's hand. Or, if we're comfortable, give this person a hug. I'm hugging my deceased mum. I can see her beautiful smile. I can feel her warmth. Can we feel a softness in the body that brings a gentle smile to the face? If we can, good. If we can't, that's okay. This emotion sometimes takes time to surface. So hug this animal, hug this person, shake their hand, contact the softness, the emotion of loving kindness. Let this feeling of softness, emotion of kindness, naturally spread all around the body. If we lose this emotion of kindness, simply hug the kitten or the animal, hug the person, or shake their hand once more to promote the emotion of loving kindness in the body, in the mind. Remember what this emotion feels like. We all have this love in the heart. It's just a matter of bringing it out. Bringing it to the surface. Now, whether we feel a little bit of this softness, this kindness, or a moderate level, or a higher level, use it in order to care for this body first. So we will scan the body now, and using this kindness to care for, to be present each part of the body. To feel the soles on the carpet or on the cushion, the soles of the feet. If the soles are not comfortable, not balanced, then find a more comfortable position to place the soles of the feet. Feel the softness or the hardness of the feet in contact with a carpet or a cushion. What do the top of the feet feel like? Is the skin here cool or warm? Are the calf muscles relaxed? If not, let's care for them and use the kindness, the softness. Soften these muscles. Can we feel our ankles and shins? They may be difficult to notice. The feeling may be neutral. And what do the kneecaps feel like? And be aware of the back of the knees. Let's move our attention to the front of the thighs, the quadriceps. Can we feel the heat escaping from them? How do the hips feel? Pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Continue to follow along. To be with each part of the body as it is mentioned. We're up to the hamstrings now, the back of the thighs. And the buttocks as well, the butt cheeks. We can feel compression. Softness or hardness on the seat. Heat from both buttocks and the hamstrings. Care for the buttocks and the hamstrings. If the lower body is uncomfortable, make minor adjustments. Make the lower body comfortable as it can be. Hug that animal, hug that person. Contact with loving kindness once more. Kindness, goodwill, friendliness. Feel the emotion. You're doing very well. It may be difficult for some people to promote this emotion. but it can be done with patience. Let's be mindful of the tummy now, the stomach and the belly. Make sure the belly is nice and soft to promote natural breathing, comfortable breathing. How do the ribs feel? The rib cage. Move the upper body slightly left to the right. Make sure that the body is nice and comfortable and balanced. Pay attention to the chest now. Just care for the muscles here. Because of our posture, these muscles are usually very tight. So let's use the kindness that we've cultivated and allow the chest muscles to relax. Let's move our attention to the front of the neck now. This is another area of tension in a lot of people because our heads are usually forward. So move the head slightly back, forward, and then to a position that's comfortable for us. And relax, care for the muscles of the front of the neck. And don't be afraid to gently smile. By doing so, it allows, encourages the mind to smile, for the heart to smile. Let's care for the shoulders next. Allow the kindness to soften the muscles here. The upper traps. Place our awareness now on the upper arms. How do they feel contacting the body? Can we feel any sweat? Move our attention now to the forearms, the lower arms, the elbows first. The palms, which are likely to be very warm. You can feel their fleshiness and their smoothness. Be mindful of the back of the hands now. How do they feel? Care for them. Make sure the arms are comfortable. Adjust their position if necessary. If we don't feel the kindness anymore, simply go back, bring up the image of the kind animal or kind person, and hug this animal. Shake this person's hand, give them a hug. Evoke loving kindness. Feel the softness of this emotion. Be aware of the lower back now and use the loving kindness to soften any tension here. Move up the spine to the middle spine and the muscles on the other side. Relax this area. Care for it. And be kind to the muscles of the upper back and back of the neck. The kindness will soften, will melt away any tension. How does the back of the head feel? Is it a neutral sensation? Or is it stronger? And can we feel the top of the head? Maybe there's heat Or if there's no hair, then coolness. Can we imagine the softness of the ears? We can probably feel the heat escaping from the ears. Are there any itches on the face? Simply observe and care for these areas that are itchy. The itch is not a problem. If it's a problem, it's only because we have the wrong attitude. Replace it with kindness and care, and the itch won't be a problem anymore. Feel the eyes. Are they heavy? If so, that's okay. Simply allow the feeling and experience it fully without trying to push it away. Be kind to the heaviness. Maybe the sleepiness. Dryness. Or maybe the eyes are just right. Awake. Just the right moisture. Can we feel the heat on our cheeks? Be aware of the texture of the lips. Softness. And the moisture content. Dry or just right or moist. And is there heaviness in the head? Maybe due to the dim light in this room. Maybe the head's a bit foggy. Simply be kind to this feeling. How does it feel like to yawn? Feel the muscles of the face responsible for yawning. Are tears coming from the eyes as we yawn? It's contagious. Feel the smile on the face. Smiles are contagious too. We've made this body as comfortable as it can. We accept that there are areas that where there's residual discomfort, residual tension. We accept this fact. We are kind to the entire body, especially the areas that are uncomfortable. Accept the remaining discomfort in the body. And let it go. Let the body take care of itself. Find a comfortable position and let it be. For those of us where the mind is foggy, imagine a fluorescent light in the mind. A bright white fluorescent light lighting up the whole mind. As bright as the sun. Lighting up every corner of the mind, including parts that have never received light before. The entire mind is enveloped, filled with this bright white light. The light of wakefulness. Alertness. And if we're very, very tired, because it's been a big day, do not struggle. If the body wants to sleep, if the mind wants to switch off, that's okay too. Allow the mind to do so. It's time to relax. Sometimes the body just needs to rest. The mind needs to switch off, and that's okay. This is about caring for the mind, caring for the body, being kind. Not pushing it about. So sleep if we need to, right now. If the mind would like to observe the breath, anywhere it would like to, let the mind do so. If the breath doesn't come up easily, or the mind doesn't want to watch the breath. Let the mind observe what it wants to, any part of the body, or the entire body, or the posture. When is the most important time? Now. Who is the most important person? We're alone, so we're the most important person. This mind is. What is the most important thing to do? To care. So let's care for this mind. I'll be silent for the next 15 minutes. Let's continue to care. Care for this mind. enjoy the last few moments. Appreciate any amount of peace that's in the mind right now. Let it bring a gentle smile on the face. Feel this peace. Feel it and then say the following silently. Say it and really mean it. May I be happy. Feel the peace once more. The joy, the kindness. May all beings be happy. Please open your eyes to end this evening's meditation. We can have Q&A now, or any comments. Was it difficult to evoke kindness? It takes practice for some people. Was it okay, Ryan, evoking that kindness?
It's challenging.
Yeah, it can be, because like anything, basically, it requires patience, and just to practice regularly, at least a few times a week.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm glad you were friendly towards the sleepiness. That's right. Because like all states of mind, it does disappear, especially when there's more light. Yeah.
I have trouble with the feelings.
So you have trouble with feelings, but not joy though.
I don't feel anything, you know, like you said, you know, yeah. Feel the top of
your head. Oh, right, I understand.
Yeah. I feel nothing.
But you feel joy, though. You feel joy.
Mm.
You feel joy. And so you do feel the emotion of joy. That's right. But you do feel the heat on the soles of your feet now, on the carpet.
Well, I can feel the difference between the carpet and the tiles, I suppose.
See, there's actually two types of feelings. Emotions and feeling tone. So basically, in terms of Buddhist practice, we've got what's known as emotions, and then basically in terms of feeling tone, or in Pali Vedana, we've got pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. That's right. So basically, they're bodily as well as mental, but they're not emotions. So they're different to emotions. So for example, if we I can feel the heat now at, on the soles of my feet contacting the cushion, so it's uncomfortable for me. I can feel a bit of sweat as well, so that's unpleasant. But I don't need to move my feet. If I wasn't mindful, I may have in the past. But with awareness, knowing that it's not doing any harm, I don't need to move my feet. And by accepting that it's unpleasant, but it's not harmful, then it's not a problem. It's not a problem. So another time I will discuss basically the implications of being very reactive, because it's not a pleasant place to be basically reacting to the senses all the time, because we've got the five senses, the nose, the eyes, the tongue, the ears, and the sense of touch via the skin, and then we've got the mind as well. So basically, whenever these six sense organs come into contact with the sense object, for the eyes would be forms, for the nose smells, for the mind thoughts. We will experience in the body pleasantness, unpleasantness, or neutral, in the mind as well. But some feelings are more bodily, others are more mental. Yeah. But if we don't have the awareness and the understanding that these feelings, these sensations will be a bare term, because we get used up, we get confused between emotions and feelings. These sensations are harmless. Unless basically, if we don't move, then we're going to cause damage to the body, in which case we will move the body to prevent damage. But if we know that if I don't move my knee, it's just basically moderate unpleasantness. I don't need to move it. I'm not doing any damage to the knee. So if I learn to just sit with the sensation of unpleasantness in the knee, if we accept it and be kind to it, be aware of it, then it's not a problem anymore. And by doing so, as the Buddha says, there's no clinging, there's no holding on. And as a result, there's no craving, there's no desire, there's no bad karma as a result. So we can stop the bad karma at sensation. We can do it, we've got the capacity. That's why these teachings are priceless, because it speeds up the rate at which we become awakened. By cutting off bad karma, by wanting to push away things we don't like. That's why these teachings are really valuable. That's why mindfulness meditation, that's why stillness meditation is so important. If we want to fully live this life. Yeah, that's why I'm so glad you're here, Ryan. Because when you start younger, you've got much more time. So yeah, that's right. But for us who are older, we're doing really well, because we've been on this path for a while now, all of us. So we're the fortunate ones. We're the ones who actually are interested, are motivated. We're the ones who want to apply the teachings. These teachings which help us to understand this body, which help us to understand this mind. These teachings which help us to reduce the suffering. And if we choose to, if we commit to the teachings, the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, then it's inevitable. If we follow the instructions correctly, the Buddha says basically, we reach the first stage of awakening, which is called stream entry, entering the stream of Dharma. That's the first stage of sainthood or awakening. Or the second stage, which is basically as a once returner, where we return to this world once more. And well, actually, for the stream enterer, once I actually have reached the first stage, they only need to basically return to this world 7 more times, guaranteed. Only 7 more. So basically, once we reach the first stage of enlightenment, basically, we cannot be reborn lower than a human being. We cannot be reborn in the lower in the hell realms anymore as an animal or as a ghost. These are lower than the human realm. So basically, if we become a stream enterer, we're guaranteed of being reborn into the places where we suffer the most, in the hell realms, as an animal or as a ghost. As a human being, we've got a balance of joy, of happiness, and of suffering, of dissatisfaction. So it's really good to be reborn as a human being, because we've got the joy to encourage us to basically apply the teachings, and also to persevere, to be patient with any difficulties. But at the same time, we've got the suffering, we've got the dissatisfaction, to actually encourage us to actually eject us from this suffering for once and for all. Especially there's a lot of suffering, like a lot of us have actually. A lot of bodily suffering, a lot of mental suffering. Yeah, those of us who suffer a lot and who are motivated to do something about it, those who have initiative, they will apply these teachings in order to actually escape from the cycle of birth, old age, sickness, and death. This cycle keeps repeating. So that's why the Noble Truths, the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering or dissatisfaction, the truth of the cause of suffering, which is wanting, which is desire, which is craving. Craving for forms, craving for nice smells, craving for nice tastes, craving for nice sounds, craving for things that are nice to touch, craving for exciting thoughts, thoughts of interest. These all create karma, and karma basically, the action, basically gives us the next birth. So if there's basically no good or bad karma, especially bad karma, then basically, then if there's no karma at all, there's no more lives, no more rebirth. That's what we need to understand, what the cause of suffering is. Yeah, so the this cause of suffering is actually wanting, craving, wanting to hold on to things we like, wanting to push away states of mind, including anger, including sadness, away. That's wanting. That creates bad karma. So if we want to create any karma, the Buddha says basically, never be afraid of doing good deeds, because the good karma will allow us to have a good rebirth as a human being or as a heavenly being. As a human being, we're able to actually be here, and if we actually have the good karma, we have easy access to the teachings once more in the next life, the teachings of the Buddha. And then we continue this path, the Eightfold Path. So the truth of suffering, the cause of suffering, which is wanting, the end of suffering, and the path or the way leading to the end of suffering, called the Eightfold Path. Right view, which includes the law of karma, believing in the law of cause and effect, the law of karma, that's right view. Believing in rebirth. Believing that wholesome deeds lead to good results, and that unwholesome deeds lead to unbeneficial, unhappy results in this life and in future lives. So karma, right view, which basically involves believing in the law of karma and believing in also the Dharma, which is basically all the teachings of the Buddha, and the Eightfold Path encompasses the entire teachings. So right view and right intention. The intention of letting go or renunciation of wanting. The intention of kindness. That's why kindness is central to this life. And the intention of harmlessness. Not harming oneself, not harming other people, not harming all living beings. That's why kindness is so important. We need to care for this mind first before we can care for the minds of others. That's why if we have difficulties with this mind, we need to get help. There is help out there. Counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists. And if the issues are less severe, then mindfulness meditation teachers, stillness meditation teachers. A lot of these services are free. That's why it's very important to care for this mind. So that's why in order to care for this mind, we don't hate, because hate basically actually creates bad karma for us. So that's why we try not to hate, kindness instead. As you would have heard, basically, hatred does not stop via hatred. Hatred stops only with kindness or love or goodwill or friendliness. This is an eternal law. This is what the Buddha said. Hatred cannot cease with hatred. Hatred can only cease with love or kindness. That's why if people do bad things, we try basically to be kind to them, have compassion for them. One of the reasons why they do so is because they're actually not in the right state of mind. They're suffering. So we have compassion for their suffering. Compassion that they will suffer more because of the bad karma they've created. That's why we need to use wisdom in this lifetime to do the best we can. Do the best we can to apply these teachings of generosity, of patience, of not greed, but the opposite, which is generosity, of letting go, of renunciation of wanting. And the opposite of hatred is kindness, friendliness, goodwill, love. And the opposite of delusion is right view, having the right belief system, having the right information system, information. So that's why it's very important. Right, not meaning right or wrong, but right meaning basically that it leads the mind towards peace and ultimately the peace of nirvana, of liberation, of full awakening for this mind. So if there are no comments, no questions, we can call it a beautiful night, a night of understanding and of compassion and of insight for all of us. So may all of us, may all beings be well, may all beings be happy. May all beings be peaceful.
Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu. Sadhu.